This morning's scripture text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it is the familiar story of the visit of the Magi, the wise men, to Jesus and his family. And today we celebrate Epiphany Sunday. And this is the traditional scripture that goes along with that story. The Bible says, "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, 'Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.' When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' And then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them exactly the time where the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' And when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This Christmas, every Christmas, really, is a time of gift-giving. A time we like to share gifts, show our love and appreciation to different people by the exchanging of gifts. I've already shared with you a couple of gifts that Pat and I received from loved ones this week and this past Christmas, and we are certainly delighted. And I did thank you already for the gifts that you all shared with the staff today, so we very much appreciate it. Today is another gift-giving story that I want to share with you, and it's the text that includes the visit of the Magi to the Christ child and the very special gifts that they brought to the child Jesus: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't hear much about frankincense and myrrh these days, but I can assure you that they were very, very valuable commodities in Jesus' day. 2,000 years ago, a pound of gold, I'm told, was worth $6,000, a pound of gold. Now, that was extremely expensive and extremely good price for gold at that time. Frankincense sold for about $500 a pound. And myrrh, much more valuable, was worth $4,000 a pound. Now, today, things have changed quite a bit, as you can imagine, over 2,000 years. Does anybody know the price of gold these days? $1,400 an ounce. $1,400 an ounce. So a pound, I believe, if I did the math right, was over $22,000 for a pound of gold. Now, frankincense and myrrh, unfortunately, if you had investments in frankincense and myrrh, you'd be in bad shape, because they're only about $15 a pound. Well, what is frankincense and myrrh? Maybe you've often wondered what frankincense and what myrrh is. Well, basically, they are resins. It's a material that comes from a very special tree in the Middle East, in southern Arabia and in northeast Africa. And what they do is that they cut these trees and they allow the wounds to allow this resin to come up, and they gather this resin from these trees. And this frankincense and myrrh had medicinal purposes in Jesus' day. It was an antiseptic, it was an antifungal, and an anti-inflammatory. Myrrh, a slightly different resin, it almost had a perfumey quality to it. It was very aromatic, and it was used to embalm the mummified bodies of people that they buried, for example, in the pyramids. I'm told that in 1922, when they discovered King Tutankhamun's tomb in one of the pyramids, when they opened the grave clothes, when they opened the mummified body of King Tut, this aroma of 5,000-year-old, 3,000, 4,000-year-old myrrh came out of that mummified body. And so we know that myrrh was used in the embalming of bodies. And it had, of course, very, very important medicinal purposes as an anesthetic, for example. And of course, gold was valuable then, just as it is now. But you know, gold also has healing properties, medicinal purposes. You ever heard of gold injections for rheumatoid arthritis? I'm sure our medical people here today know about that. Gold is actually used in medicine for rheumatoid arthritis. The Magi's gifts to Jesus had very, very special meaning. They represented life and health and wholeness. And they were all very valuable commodities in the ancient world. And so they brought these wonderful gifts from afar, these three wise men believed to be astrologers who followed the star to Jesus' home. They brought these gifts, it's interesting to note, secretly. You'll notice that when they came to Jerusalem, they met secretly with King Herod. And so it was almost like a covert operation, if you will, to go and to seek out this child. Herod said, "Go and seek for the child diligently and report back to me." Well, they did that. They went secretly to find Jesus, but they were also told in a dream not to return to King Herod, because God knew what Herod had in mind after he discovered where this threat of another king came from. Because if you read further into the next chapter, you'll find that Herod goes and kills every child under the age of 2 years old in an attempt to exterminate any threat to his authority. It's called the slaughter of the innocents. Three gifts that the wise men, the Magi, bring to Jesus. Gifts that are enriching, gifts that are healing, and gifts that are transformative. And so the question I kind of pondered and worked with this week was this: what wise gifts could we offer one another in the coming year that demonstrate enriching, healing, transforming presence Christ's birth brings into the world? What kind of gifts can we offer one another that are healing in our relationships with one another? I'd like to suggest three gifts to you today, and I've sort of kind of given them a little secret agent spin, if you will, this covert language. I'd like to suggest three gifts that we have received in abundance from God that I believe God is calling us to share with others in the coming year. The first I'd like to call covert kindness. Covert kindness. You've heard the expression random acts of kindness, haven't you? And I'm sure that some, if not all of you, have done a random act of kindness once in a while, and senseless acts of beauty. What kind of kind acts can we do for one another in the coming year? What kind of kindness can we show one another? Well, here's a little covert operation you might try sometime. The next time you go through Wendy's or McDonald's or a drive-thru, pay for the person's meal behind you. Offer to take care of the car behind you in the drive-thru line at McDonald's. Yeah. I remember going to seminary 4 years back and forth across the Bay Bridge, and we would always pay for the person behind us. It's $2.50. Pay for the person behind us. And the expression on their faces when they get up to the toll booth, and they're like, imagine the look on the face of a family with three or four kids in it at McDonald's, and they realize their meal's been paid for. I can't do that every day, of course. We can't afford to do all of that all the time. but a random act of kindness might be just what somebody needs to make their day. How about that parking space at Walmart or the mall? Oh, yeah. You see that car and you're looking at him and he's looking at you or she's looking at you. And you're like, okay, which one's going to get the parking space? Why not wave them in? Let them have it and drive around a little bit more. Random acts of kindness doesn't take very much at all. Might cost us a little more time or extra steps. How about on your morning walk or your afternoon walk, taking a couple of bags with you? One bag to pick up the litter along the way. Pick up the trash along the sidewalk or the woods or wherever you walk. And maybe take a bag of bird seed along with you and throw out on the sidewalk or near the curb or under a tree or something. And feed the birds while you're out there. Just random acts of kindness. For you see, covert kindness does as much for us as it does for the people we're trying to reach and touch. It makes us feel good. It makes us want to do even more to help others. Covert kindness. Another gift we could share would be gorilla grace. Gorilla grace. Not gorilla, G-O-R-I-L-L-O. Gorilla grace. You know, gorillas and operations and so forth. A book in 1990 written by a guy by the name of Og Mandino, who was a former alcoholic and derelict, wrote a book, and it was called A Better Way to Live. And he lists 17 rules to live by. And rule number 10 in that book says, treat everyone you meet, friend or foe, loved one or stranger, as if they were going to be dead at midnight. Now, I know that's kind of a crude way of putting it, but imagine the people in your life, friend or foe, stranger or whatnot, if you treated them as if that was their last day on earth, if this was the last time you were going to see that person. Think about that. How would that affect our words? How would that affect our actions? How would that affect how we interact with that person? It's an interesting way to think about it. What if, you know, I know every morning I tell my wife I love her before I leave the house because I don't know if I'm going to see her when I get home that night. Anything can happen. People drop dead every day, don't they? So take advantage of every moment you have and be nice to people. Show them grace. Show them that kind of gorilla grace that we're talking about here. Give compliments instead of complaints. Tell the people the good things that you like about them rather than their faults. Speak kindly to people. Celebrate their gifts and their abilities. Value your friendship with them. Show them grace. Grace that you yourself have received in abundance from God. Because we have been touched ourselves by God's amazing grace, it should encourage us to extend deep caring and compassion and concern for all people from all walks of life. In other words, see people as God sees them, as His children. Gorilla grace. And then finally, something I'm calling undercover love. Undercover love. Amy Grant wrote a song several years ago called Love of Another Kind. And a verse from that song goes, the love I know is a love so few discover. They need to know Jesus' love is like no other. It's this Jesus' love that will save us. It is Jesus' love that will save our world. But we have to be warned here. This gift comes with a warning label. It can be costly. For you see, Christian discipleship is costly. It may cost us financially. It may cost us time. It may cost us security. Sometimes it has even cost disciples their very lives to show the love that we are called to show. For you see, this kind of love, this undercover love, enabled people along the railroad. What is it called? The Underground Railroad. Yes, Underground Railroad during the Civil War, to allow slaves to be shuttled north, moved north, at the risk of their own lives to freedom. Today, I believe God is calling us as a church, as a people, to shake off our apathy, to shake off the risk of being criticized and doing things that are maybe just a slight bit risky in ministry. Perhaps you have heard God call you to go on a mission trip. Maybe you may not go to Africa, but maybe you can go to a mission trip, on a mission trip somewhere here in this country. One of my goals this year is to go on the mission trip with the youth down to South Carolina. Eventually, I'd like to go to Africa to visit the people that we have covenanted with there. I'm also committing to go to summer camp this year and to be a spiritual counselor to the young people that'll be at Camp Pocomoth for a week this summer. What can you do? What kinds of things can you do to show your love for Christ to others? The three wise gifts that the Magi brought represented healing, enrichment, and transformation. Remember, we were created in God's image, in the image of God. And within us, within our spiritual DNA, is the ability to offer Christ's healing presence to the world every day, and not just on Christmas. Three wise gifts I want you to consider this year as you think about your plans, your goals, and your planning out this year. Three wise gifts: kindness, grace, and love, that represent the gift that Christ truly wants from all of us, our very hearts. That's the greatest gift that we can give Christ, is our hearts. Amen.